The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to get passionate about sports talk. This is Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. These two talk with the experts and are the experts when it comes to what's hot, what's next, and what will be in the sports world. Let's get this show on the road. Here's Luther and Micah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back from, what was it, 2 weeks off? We were off for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm Micah Warren. I'm with Luther Broughton. This is Cheap Shots, and we got a lot to go over. We got a very, very special episode tonight. We got Ty Detmer with us. He'll be joining us in a little bit. We'll definitely get to pick his brain about all things football. Luther, did you get the help you needed in your 2 weeks off?
Everything yes. Okay now? I just got back from the airport. Scarlett is going home. Johansson, if you're wondering.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So she's on her way back home. I'm very disappointed that she couldn't stay longer. But, hey, what the hell?
Right.
I get Scarlett to stay with me for a couple weeks, so I'm groovy.
So we're expecting big things out of you, Luther, because we had a football game yesterday, and it was two teams you played for. The Eagles just pounding the hell out of the Panthers last night. There were some people that saw it coming. I didn't necessarily.
One of my guys on Facebook, he likes to handicap the games, what have you, and he took the Panthers +7, and he said it'll be a close game. The Eagles will get conservative and run 70% of the time, blah, blah, blah. I said, dude, it won't be close. The Panthers suck right now. Have you seen them play? I'm like, they stink. They're playing backup of backups on the offensive line. Cam is clearly hurting. The defense is nowhere near where it was last year. The depth on that defense is gone. They're just not that good, and they weren't playing that well on special teams. Well, lo and behold, they were even worse than I predicted. And they made it close at the end. They kept fighting with their starters in the game for whatever reason and scored two late touchdowns to make it 45-21. I mean, that was a complete butt-whipping.
Yeah, it was bad. And, you know, speaking of that with the run, are you surprised they did not? The Eagles hardly ran the ball. I don't get it. You got a backup quarterback in there. Why are they
throwing? And it's a blowout. Like, hand the ball off and let's not get our backup hurt.
Yeah, and I was shocked at that, Luther, for both teams. Why is Cam Newton in a 41-7 blowout? I'm glad he was.
After he got his ass beat up. He'd catch the snap and he'd have pressure in his face. He needs to play better. You could see his mechanics are off. His mechanics are actually bad right now. But he's getting demolished. I don't want to make an excuse for him. I want to sound like I'm making an excuse for him. He needs to play better as well. But my God, he got hit so many times last night. I got like 7-8 text messages because obviously I live in Charlotte and a ton of Panther friends. And they were like, I've never seen anything this bad. Have you ever seen anything this bad? That's what I kept getting over text messages. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I've seen an offensive line play this bad.
They're bad, but he was also not getting out of plays that he usually gets out of. He can
but
run.
That's what I'm saying. He can run and he can get out. The thing that makes him great is getting out of that. But guess what? Are you going to have to rely on him to get out of plays 65% of your snaps, 65% of your passes? You're saying, okay, Cam, I need you to escape first, then make the read. You can't really rely on that. But yeah, he couldn't run away from anybody. There's no way the guy is injured. No way.
Did you see him on the sideline? He's kneeling down, wincing.
He looked beat the hell up.
He looked real beat the hell up.
He looked beat the hell up.
I could argue he shouldn't have been in the game when it was still contested.
He should shouldn't have been in a game when it was still contested, no question. He was beat up. They should have given themselves a chance by putting in a healthy quarterback and probably trying to bribe the Eagles to trade uniforms for some of their offensive linemen. That would have helped.
That would have helped a lot.
Because clearly the Panthers have, I don't know, Division II backups now playing their offensive line. It's bad. I'm being overdramatic, but it's really bad.
I still don't understand what happened to the defense. I know they don't have Greg Hardy, but that's more of a pass rush
thing. That's a pass rush thing. I don't know what happened. The defense is not sound at all. And guess what, though? They lost two starters from that defensive backfield. You have to remember that. They lost
You're talking about the offseason? Richard Marshall?
No, dude, the guy from South Carolina, Captain
Munnerlyn. Captain Munnerlyn. How do you forget a name like Captain Munnerlyn?
Captain, yeah,
it's
that's what I said.
It's one of the greatest names in the world.
In football, shut up. They lost Captain. They lost Mike Mitchell to the Steelers. I mean, do you overpay to keep those guys? Probably not, but they were starters on a great team. And you didn't do much to replace them. And they're getting torched all over the place. Torched. They're bad. They're really bad. And people were spending like high fantasy draft picks on Panthers and Seahawks defense. Meanwhile, the Eagles defense special teams scoring 30 points.
The Panthers last night were
fake football.
Keenan Ivory Wayans and the Eagles were Lois Mitchell. You do remember that, right? Kicking your ass up and down the playground, Lois Mitchell. I love that movie. Are you a fan of I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
Yes.
That's hilarious. I love that movie.
Feet was swollen. That's a great bunions. Movie.
Jim Brown, yeah, my bunions are killing me.
Yeah, the bunions, yes. The Panthers, man. I mean, as good as the Eagles looked last night, and the Panthers looked that bad,
and that's how you get 41-7.
Good. What the hell is going on with LeSean McCoy?
Dude, he doesn't look right, and I know everyone thinks I'm being reactionary.
Hasn't looked right for six, 7 weeks.
Dude, and I'm not talking about the offensive
line. Even in the open field. No, I'm not talking about the line. Even when he gets out there, it's like, okay, when is he going to go full speed? And then you're like, oh, he's going full speed. It's not the same. When do we start talking about whether LeSean is going to be back next year?
I think you can start
about it.
I think you can. They're not talking about it locally. I have not heard that on sports radio. Obviously, they're talking about Sanchez and all that stuff. But to me, you got to make a decision. I mean, he's not. It's not even his top speed, Luther. It's not like he was ever, you know, a 4.3 guy. It's his cut.
Yeah, but he looks him slow all over.
He does. He looks like a shell of himself. He could still be a productive back and is. I'm not saying that. But to say that he looks normal, you forget what he used to be able to do. The cuts he made people look just stupid. Yep. I mean, you don't run like he's running now and get compared to Barry Sanders. No, you don't.
You don't.
He was compared to Barry Sanders.
He looks really bad, man. I don't know what to say about that.
When they just signed him, was it the last offseason?
Yeah.
I think it's decision time.
He earned it.
He did.
What's going on? I'm still shocked at like how he looks. He looks like he fell off that 30-year-old running back cliff.
Was he 26?
In one off season.
Yeah, it's bad. But
hey, we just got notification. It looks like our guest is ready. We have Ty Detmer coming in.
Ty, you with us?
You bet.
How you doing,
Ty? How you doing?
Doing great. How are y'all?
Groovy, man.
Other than being with Luther, I'm fine.
I know Ty knows better than that. We were teammates.
Time with Luther.
So, Ty, how's everything going these days?
Things are good. Just coaching high school football down in Austin, Texas.
So yeah, you coaching with your dad?
Actually, my brother Coy is coaching with my dad. They're in San Antonio area, and I'm a little farther north in Austin.
Oh, so you had coaching?
Yeah, it's good. We've got our challenges. We're a small school, so we only have about 40 to 45 kids playing. That's freshmen through seniors, so we're a little limited on what we what we can do at times, but it's been a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but you're in Texas, man. I went to school in South Jersey. Our team was so bad, I think we won 4 games in the 4 years I was there. I saw a Texas high school game on TV once. You guys run like spread shotgun. I was like, oh, my God. It's like pro-style stuff down there. I'd never seen anything like it.
It's, you know, it's a little more developed probably because, you know, it's almost like college football. You have spring football practice and you got, you know, the public schools all have athletic period, which, you know, is a period during the day where they can work on things and, or watch film and all those things. So, you know, they take it pretty serious down here.
Yeah, well, that's an understatement.
Now, I want to ask you about your former team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, they played last night. I know you saw some of it. What's your take on Mark Sanchez? As a former quarterback, can you? How difficult is it to go from the situation he was in New York, where his confidence is shot, then you go to the Eagles. He looks like he's playing pretty well. He looks like a different guy. Can you talk about that? You tell us how he looks and what kind of what that's like
to go to different situations? I kind of bounced around a little bit myself. And, you know, anytime you go somewhere new, it's kind of a fresh start. You know, I think obviously confidence was probably rocked a little there in New York. And, you know, I think you go to Philly and you got Chip Kelly and that type of offense is kind of refreshing to get back, you know, and to be able to sit back a little bit and watch Nick and just kind of take it in from the sideline a little. And then now you got your opportunity. You go out and you try to make plays. And, you know, I thought he made some really nice throws where he threw guys open even when they were covered last night. And, you know, they had protection. They kind of spread the field and give him some options, you know. But, you know, there's no question the guy has talent or he wouldn't have been a first-round pick. So I think it's getting that the mind right and the attitude right and then having, you know, a type of system that maybe fits you a little better than maybe something he was doing in New York.
Now, when you
first – New York, they kind of –
That's where people go to die. That's where your career goes to die. That is
well, offensively, that's where your career goes to die. I mean, gosh, man. And it was like he made his read in New York, and then that's it. Make your read, and then we lose our mind. It was amazing in New York, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, they don't let the guy play. He can't play. You can't get any better like this. And you see the reports now with guys saying he was babied. They didn't let him play. They babied him. They kind of made his reads. Well, you hear the same things about Geno Smith. Right. I'm hearing the same things with Geno Smith. They don't let him make any reads. They tell him where to go with the ball. You can see him not going where he needs to go with the ball because it's predetermined. Ty, can you imagine being predetermined and where you throw the ball? Ty, you're a Heisman winner. You had multiple records in college football, lighting it up at BYU. Can you imagine how stifled you'd be if your coach told you where to throw the ball every single down?
No, that's tough. And I think part of that's being thrown in at an early time in your career. You know, both Mark and Geno, you know, had to play right away pretty much. And so I think the natural tendency is for coaches to kind of, you know, pull back, water down the offense and try to simplify it as much as they can. But, you know, in that league, you can't get away with that. You know, you gotta give guys options and put the ball in their hand and give them an opportunity to have 4 or 5 guys out in the route where you've got some opportunity to get somebody free. And, when you're doing that and you're predetermining and trying to simplify it so much to take the pressure off a guy, you're actually putting more on him to try to make plays. And that's where the turnovers then start in and you start holding the ball because that guy may not be open and you start getting sacked and then you start
butt fumbling on
you. You start putting Michael Vick in and relying on him. From where you sit in Austin, Ty, Is the Jets, is that a conducive situation for a quarterback to develop and flourish?
You know, it's tough. You know, I think you look at, you know, kind of I really enjoyed playing for Marty Morningwig, and I think he's sharp offensively, but you wonder, you know, how much Rex Ryan, you know, being a defensive coach, you know, I had the opportunity to play for offensive-minded head coaches and defensive-minded head coaches, and a lot of the places where you had a defensive-minded head coach, their mentality is, you know, let's let's kind of take care of the football and water down the offense and play good defense, and we'll keep it close. Or, you know, an offensive-minded head coach is, let's go score and let's go, and you know, we'll play some defense along the way. So, you know, you can kind of get caught. Rex Ryan's a defensive-minded head coach, and you wonder how much he kind of is handcuffing Morningweg a little bit, or if Marty just kind of feels like maybe Gino didn't have it mentally and felt like he really needed to pull back and not put too much on his plate. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that can go into that, but I think Marty's a sharp guy, but, you know, it can be tough if you're not a real strong-minded quarterback trying to play in New York with all the pressure surrounding you there and the media and everywhere else.
Did Ray Rhodes medal in the offense at all?
No.
Pardon me?
Did Ray Rhodes medal with the offense at all? Did he you know, instruct you at all?
No. You know, Ray didn't. Ray was kind of, you
CEO.
Know, wide open type of coach, and you know, we had John Gruden there, and I think he felt real comfortable that John was going to do what he felt like he needed to do to give guys some opportunities. And so, you know, I really don't think Ray, you know, he wasn't that type of guy that ruled with a heavy hand and you're going to do it this way and do it my way. I think
no.
He let John just take off and go with it.
Yeah, Ray was more of a CEO type guy. I don't even think he meddled much in the defense.
No, he let
who was it? Emmitt Thomas was the coordinator.
Yeah.
He let Emmitt run his deal, and he oversaw everything.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches do it that way.
For sure, yeah. Ray was kind of the guy overseeing it all, and you know, he allowed his coordinators to coach, and that's why he hired them. Like, you know, I'm sure.
Yep. Yeah, he couldn't have meddled too much because in '96 you had a really good year. I mean, you had almost 3,000 yards in what, 13 games, maybe less.
Yeah, I think it was about 11 games or something like that. So,
okay.
You know, we were pretty wide open. Gruden, he gave you options, and, you know, we all know his passion for offense and formations and, you know, putting a lot on the quarterback's plate, and I enjoyed it. You know, it was a lot of fun to play in that type of system.
A lot of terminology.
Yeah, because I remember thinking back to 96, and I was like, oh, my God, the Eagles have a good fantasy quarterback. Because that's when I, a few years into playing fantasy football, we hadn't had a good fantasy quarterback. And I was looking at the numbers you're putting. I'm like, dude, this guy's really lighting it up. So you had a good experience with Gruden, and I mentioned that because Luther's already told some stories about his experiences with Gruden.
You know, I love John. I spent time with him in Green Bay, you know, when he was a quality control, and then got moved up to the receiver coach. And, you know, he definitely is a character. You know, he'd get in there at 3 a.m. and start, you know, putting in formations. And, you know, like I said earlier, he put a lot on everybody's plate because he was going to move people around and shift and motion. And, you know, you got to get Charlie Garner the ball. You got to get Ricky Waters the ball. You got to get Urban Fryer the ball. You got to get Luther Broughton the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Ran for the ball.
Because Luther will complain and make problems.
No, you know, he won't.
He was a
Have you heard him whining on the show as well?
Oh, it's awful. It's intolerable.
Oh, I bitch and moan like a kid.
we have to go to break. Ty, can you stay with us for a little longer through the break?
You bet. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Look, we're gonna come back with more Ty Detmer on the other side. This is Cheap Shots. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience. So he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time. Get ready for an unpredictable, fun, and sometimes sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
Back talking with former quarterback Ty Detmer. I could sit and talk to you guys forever. I just get to sit and hang out with two NFL players. I could sit and listen to you guys swap stories. Now, I have a question for you, Ty, because we know, and Luther, obviously you know this too, teams play games with the injury report, and we're seeing it right now. Ron Rivera today saying, Cam's not hurt. What are you talking about? Nothing wrong. Anybody who watched that game knows Cam Newton is hurt. Now, so the coaches like to screw around with it. Now, will you guys kind of tell a story? Was this from 97, Coy's rookie year?
Yep, my rookie year as well.
Yeah.
So it was so funny. Yeah. It's like towards the end of training camp, and we're all like petrified. I'm like, shit, am I going to have to pack up and drive home or fly home? Am I getting cut? We had three tight ends. I'm like, there's no way they're keeping four tight ends. So we finally started making some moves, and one day Coy falls down on the field after a simple throw. And I'm like, and he had a knee injury at Colorado. So I'm thinking, wow, he tore his knee up in that stupid play in practice. So I'm all worried, discouraged, and finally I'm asking Ty about it, and he's laughing at me. He's like, no, Coy's all right. Ty, you can tell it.
He came to me like a couple days before that day and was like, hey, they want me to go on injured reserve so they can keep me around. What do you think? And I'm like, well, if they're going to keep you around, right, you know, I wouldn't not do it. So, you know, that day before practice, he comes up and he's like, okay, today's the day they told me. And so we're kind of in team period at the end of practice, and they're like, all right, Coy, you're in. And so he kind of goes in, runs a play, you know, runs another play, and then he looks at me and gives me this wink, you know, as he's stepping in to call the play. And so I'm like, kind of trying not to laugh because I'm like, how's this going to go down? You know, it's a running play. So he hands off, and as he's coming out after the handoff to carry out his bootleg fake, he goes down and rolls around and grabs his knee. And, oh, man, you know, the whole practice kind of stops. Like, what happened, you know? And the guys are coming up to me, and, oh, man, is it the same knee he'd hurt at Colorado? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. I don't know. Maybe you just, you know, twisted it a little or something. And so they end up bringing the cart out, and they cart him off the field, and practice ends. And I go into the training room, you know, and there he is laying on the training room table with a towel over his face. And I just kind of raise the corner up and peek, and he's got this big old grin on his face. Like, how was that for my acting job, you know? And right, I had to, like, get out of there because I was about to just die laughing. And, you know, the rest of the team, you can't say anything because nobody's supposed to know. And they're all, you know, coming up giving their condolences and everything. And he leaves the training room facility, you know, with a big old knee brace on and crutches. And it's kind of a guy that's committing insurance fraud. You know, you get home and you throw the crutches on the ground and walk around and do all your stuff at home without the big brace on. But that was one of the funniest things I've seen because I knew what was coming and knew what was going on, and nobody else did at the time except for a couple of the coaches. So that was good.
So not even all the coaches are in on it? Who's in them?
Oh, no, because it's, you know, I mean, back then you could get in big trouble for, you know, trying to hide guys on the practice squad. So they had to do it, like, with the media out there, and, you know, articles are coming out, Detmer hurt his knee, you know, it looks like he's going to have surgery, and, you know,
fantastic.
So they don't want anybody knowing, but just a handful of people, you know, so that word doesn't get out that maybe this was going on, you know. It was pretty comical.
Yeah, because I guess if any players knew and you get cut and all of a sudden you're on the Cowboys or something, you could be like, by the way, there's some BS going on up in Philly.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean,
and I'm sure every team was doing it, you know, with one player or another. And not that anything may have come from it, but yeah, they don't want, you know, rumors being spread and all that stuff and investigation going on.
Right.
I just find it really difficult to keep a lid on that. You know, you knew, he knew, and probably a couple coaches and executives knew.
Yeah, you know, and he had to wear the brace and the crutches for like a good 3-4 weeks, you know.
Yes, he had that stupid thing on for quite a while. It was a good acting job. I know he was annoyed having to wear that junk all the time.
But he was kind of happy because he had a roster spot still. You know, he made the team.
Shit, he was on IR. He didn't have to worry about it.
Got salary, so, you know, he keeps the wraps on it so you can keep getting paid.
Now, were there questions? I mean, he had to face questions the following, you know, training camp. Like, how's the knee? What's going on with that?
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, you had to be kind of vague on what you thought it was. And, you know, of course, nobody's allowed to comment on injuries or anything. So you just kind of, you know, they're used to getting vague answers. So you just kind of keep it under wraps. And then after a little bit, the game starts and nobody asks about you anymore.
Right.
Who else knows this story? At this point, who else knows about this?
Well, I'm sure Gruden does, because he told him it was time to take the dive. you know, there's quite a few people, because after a little bit, it's like, you know, you kind of feel bad. I'm going along with it with teammates, and pretty soon it's like, you know.
He's all right.
They're wanting to put him on IR, so, you know, there's quite a few people probably know about it now.
Did you think you saw anything like this in other times of your career with this, or do you ever look back now and go, oh, you know what, that was a little weird now that I know about this?
Yeah, there's some mysterious back injuries. You know, all of a sudden a guy comes up after a preseason game and you didn't even know he was hurt, and he's hurt on Monday. And so, yeah, you look back, and but, you know, that was part of the game then. Now they got like a disabled list where a guy can go on for so many weeks.
You can go on IR for a few weeks.
Do it right now.
Pup and return, and it's better now. You don't have to do a bunch of BS to I'm sure they still do, but whatever.
Now, you mentioned Gruden, Ty. Talking to Ty Detmer, a former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, Green Bay Packers, Browns, Lions, Falcons, 49ers. Did I get all those?
You got it.
All right. You mentioned Gruden. Now, Luther's on our show has mentioned he wasn't in love with John Gruden and the way he kind of handled people. How did you deal with him? Did he?
Well, I didn't care about how he handled people. I just care about how he handled me.
Well, you're not the first person to say he's intolerant.
He wasn't a real people person, you know. I think as a player, you were always wondering where you stood. He would tell you. He loved you. I love you, man. You know, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then you're wondering, because he sat in our quarterback meetings and you were hearing what he was saying about other guys. And you know, he's probably saying the same thing about you to other people.
You're exactly. So, you're like, oh, whoa,
you
whoa.
Never really knew.
I just heard you tell this guy you love him.
You should, you know, for sure. So, but, you know, offensively, he was great and sharp mind. But, yeah, you know, he didn't deal with people real well, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't even seem like he deals with Mike Tirico very well. He's already got that look on his face. And like, gee, do you hate Mike Tirico, John? Jeez.
I think John hates everybody.
It's awkward between those two a little bit because, you know, Gruden doesn't want to have to sugarcoat things too often, I don't think, but being on TV, you have to a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
I was so shocked with him on there because I know how he can't stand sugarcoating stuff. And I'm like, how's Gruden going to be on this? Interesting. Yeah.
Everything's sunshine with him, actually.
But now he loves it. But like Ty just said, he loved everybody, like in their faces. He loved them.
So, Ty, what is your take on, you know, knowing and working with Gruden? What's your take on him as a as an analyst?
Him as a what?
As an analyst, as a color guy for the Monday Night Football.
You know, he's sharp. He definitely knows the game, you know, and I think he really understands what's happening where, you know, you listen to some color commentators and they're trying to tell you what they think is going on, and you're, as a former player, you're like, that's not what was happening. That's not what that guy was
thinking
you. At that point. You know?
So I'm not crazy. So I'm not obnoxious.
Not for
those maybe
reasons.
I am. But dude, I do it all the time, and I'm so, and Zanetta's looking at me, that's my fiance. She's like, what are you talking about? And how do you know all this? So this, that, and the other. How come that guy doesn't know it? But apparently you do. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so stupid. There's no way that that's this. So there's no way that that guy is supposed to do that. How do you know that? But you're right. With Gruden, he's very, very, you know, his football knowledge is through the roof. He's very sharp on what he's saying and how he's explaining it to the fans. And when he's breaking down a play, you know he's almost right 100% of the time.
Yeah, he gets it. You know, he understands how you break down a defense and how you break down an offense and protection and all those things. So you're right on that. He's pretty close to right on most of the time.
Now, I want to bring it back to New York for a second because obviously here in Philly we had Michael Vick for 5 years. I think that's what it was, five, something like that. It was three too many. And you were a teammate of his as a young player. And he even said after he got out of prison, you know, I remember somebody asked him, what would Michael Vick now tell Michael Vick then? And he said, it wouldn't matter because I wouldn't have listened. I mean, there's stories of him leaving the tape in his car, that coaches would give him tape to go study, and he'd leave it in his car. It would never even make it into his house. What did you see? And I ask you this as someone who's so super smart at the quarterback position versus kind of he's like the anti that.
Yeah.
What did you see then?
We got along good. We had a good relationship. You could tell that he relied on his athleticism. We, you know, every Saturday night we'd have our quarterback meeting with our Greg Knapp, who was our offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, and you know, we were expected every week to kind of recite the formations that went with the plays, and then it was almost like a quiz, you know, every Saturday night to make sure we really understood the important stuff and that we had studied it and knew what to expect. And you know, to me, it always kind of seemed like he kind of spoon-fed Michael the questions, so that, you know, he wouldn't come across as not knowing anything in that meeting. You know, and not that he didn't know anything, but you just knew his answer in his head was probably, I'll just go make a play. You know, well, if I'm not sure, I'll just take off. And, and he was good enough that he could get away with that against most teams. But, you know, he wasn't a real team guy where he would hang out in the locker room and laugh and cut up with the guys. He kind of had two or three guys on the team that's kind of all he really kind of hung out with. And so I think, you know, just seeing things and hearing how he interacted in the locker room in Philly once he got out of prison, it was like a different guy. You know, he really, I think, came to appreciate the time in the locker room and hanging out with the guys and being one of the guys. And he was definitely missing that in Atlanta. And he could kind of always bail himself out on the field with his athleticism. But had he really put it all together, and we, you're talking about the guy that's potentially unstoppable, had he had the mental side really down.
Oh, you look at his stretch in 2010. And I've said that he was playing the quarterback position better than anyone I've ever seen play it because he was throwing, running, he was doing everything until they figured out, you know, just blitz him and he'll fold. But how important is that, Ty? You talk about him being a little bit aloof, or he had a few guys he hung out with. How important is it for the quarterback, starting quarterback of a football team, to kind of be one of the guys in the locker room?
It's very important. I mean, you know, I'm sure Luther's touched on it before about guys he's played with that did and didn't like playing with, there were times where, you know, he promised the O-line a certain gift at the end of the year, and he had one of his best years. I think it was 2004 there in Atlanta, and we went to the NFC Championship game, and you know,
against?
And so we're in like OTAs, and and spring, you know, or mini camps and things, and the linemen are sitting over there like, man, he didn't get us anything. He promised us all this stuff, and he didn't get us anything. Hey, you know, and they're telling me, you know, you got to bring that up with him.
Yeah, right. You bring that up.
That's not really my spot, but, you know.
But that does kind of suck,
and,
though,
and so you can sense that there was a little bit of, you know, maybe animosity that, first of all, you don't promise things and then not, you know, honor it. And second, you know, you got to kind of be one of the guys with those guys and let them know they're appreciated. And you don't have to be best friends with everybody, but you do have to let people know that they're appreciated. And if you say you're going to do something, especially with that group, you better do it.
That's just douchey. Yeah. Now, question for you.
Don't promise me something and then don't do it. That's like my fiance calling me to bed all in negligee and everything, and then it's like, oh, I have a headache, oh, I'm tired. Why'd you call me in here? I was watching the game. You're all sexy and everything, and now you call me in here, and I'm like, okay, fine. You should have let me stay watching the game. I mean, that's basically what that was. You know, don't tell me you're going to do something. I didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
Ty, do you remember? I remember him making a comment after the NFC Championship game, but I don't know how far after. It could have been even years. And he said, well, I didn't take it all that seriously because I figured we'd just make it back all the time.
Yes.
I mean, did you hear that? And what do you think as a teammate if you did hear that or if someone would say that?
You know, I think as a young player, you kind of, you know, you get in a position where you think you're just going to be good every year. You know, you look at it like, well, we got the same team coming back pretty much. You know, I'm even going to be better next year. So, you know, when you're young, you kind of think that way. The older you get, it's like, man, you know, we got to make it happen because this is hard. It's really hard to get there. And I think there's probably a lot of young players in the league that, you know, still even think that, even though they hear guys talk about it and say those things. When you're there, you feel like you're king of the world, and it wasn't that hard to get here. We ought to do it again next year, and then you don't, and you get injuries or the team dynamics change just a little bit, and it's really hard to win in the NFL from week to week, let alone get back to the NFC Championship or a Super Bowl again. I mean, you see that. It's tough every year. Nobody really just keeps going back every year. So I think just being young and having confidence in yourself, you know, leads to guys having that mentality a little bit. And the older guys are trying to bring them along like, look, this doesn't happen every year. We gotta make it happen, you know, put a little more time in this week in the playoffs because we got to have it. It's no guarantees for next year.
Yep.
No, exactly.
Hey, we got like a minute before the break. I want to talk to you right quickly, shift gears a little bit, and talk about the college football playoff system. Interesting, the top four just came out, and Mississippi's number one, followed by Oregon, Florida State, and number four is TCU, a team that lost to Baylor, has the same record as Baylor, but they're number four. Anyways, how do you feel about the playoffs replacing the BCS, which I used to call BS?
Well, I'm a big fan of it. You know, I wish they could have more teams involved because no matter how many teams, though, that you have, somebody's going to be left out.
And, exactly.
Yep. You know, you don't envy the guys that are trying to make those decisions, you know, and have the input. But, you know, it's still there's going to be people not happy at the end of this. But at least if you had, you know, 10 teams or 8 teams in it, at least you can kind of, you know, really focus on the top 8 teams. You know, when you start looking at number 5, 6, 7, 8, those guys are, I mean, you know, they're still just as good as maybe some of the 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know, and they're not going to have a chance to prove it, you know, based on either when they lost or who they lost to. You know, it's still got some kinks, but at least the top four, you know, that people say are the top four are at least going to get to play for it this year and best team win then. But it's
that's much better than a mythical championship from what, 20 years ago. You get a vote and the top team is the champ. Then in the past, what, 20, 15, 20 years, you had the BCS where, again, it's computers and, right. and the polls and the top two teams play. So now this is a little bit better, but I'm wondering how on earth – I played Division I AA before it was FCS. How do we have a 16-team playoff and the Division I can't?
It's the money. It's all about the money, the bowl games. They still want out bowl games, the TV contracts. Yep. You know, it's all about the money. And, you know, you look at the NCAA tournament, they got 64 teams, and there's still people not happy that they didn't get invited.
And they have play-in games. They have, like, the PBS 66 schools now. Playing to get in.
Yeah, and ridiculous. There's still people not happy or feel like they were left out. So no matter how many teams you have, there's always going to be somebody mad that they didn't get a chance at it. So there's no perfect answer, but, you know, at least we got four teams that are going to play for it, and there probably should be, you know, three or four others that should have that opportunity as well. But
hey, baby steps, right?
You know, at least we got four going this year.
Exactly. Ty Detmer, I can't thank you enough for coming on. You're welcome back on Cheap Shots anytime you want. You've been a phenomenal guest. I know you got more stories for us, so anytime you want to come back, we would love to have you on. I can't thank you enough.
Anytime you need me, give me a call. No problem.
Now we will.
Thanks, Ty.
Thanks, Ty.
All right. Good talking.
Tell everybody I said, hey, man, especially your brother.
All right, you too.
All right, take
it easy.
That was Ty Detmer, former Green Bay Packer, Philadelphia Eagle, Detroit Lion, Cleveland Brown, Atlanta Falcon, and San Francisco 49ers. That's off the top of my head. I wasn't reading that, so you know, give me a break. Anyway, we're up against a break. It is time for a few commercials. This is Cheap Shots. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
Lay the bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav, that's presented by Outdoor Channel.
We're going after elk, and our hunting party will include executive producer of Realtree Outdoors, David Blanton, outdoor writer Tim McWelch, Cabela's optics manager, Phil Severinson, and award-winning author, Keith McCafferty.
Did you know that elk threaten each other by curling back their upper lip, grinding their teeth, and hissing softly? That's what Jim does.
And it's presented to you by Outdoor Channel at OutdoorChannel.com.
Friday afternoons at 1 Pacific time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
So that was, we were joined by Ty Detmer, former NFL quarterback, played 14 years. That's quite a career. He's always a good time. Luther, we're going to get back into NFL stuff.
I love it, but I do have a quick question for you.
I know. Do your NCAA stuff. I know you get upset.
Well, I'll be real quick.
You don't have to be real quick. We've got plenty of time.
We do have plenty of time. Mississippi State, number one. Oregon, number two.
Sure.
Florida State, number three.
Okay.
Curiously, TCU, 8-1 TCU is number four, yet 8-1 Baylor is number seven. Baylor beat TCU head to head. Can you explain that?
I think Donovan McNabb makes the rankings. I think they have I think they have him, like, because I haven't seen his power rankings for the NFL this week. So I hadn't
seen him in like 3 weeks. Yes. I guess it was so bad they fired him.
Well, they got him doing NCAA job. Now. They got him doing NCAA. So he decides the college team.
Oh, so he, okay, I got it. So he's,
because you notice Cumberland County Community College is 5. So.
No, I thought he had them at 6.
I haven't seen the latest. But it is, so, you know what? Well,
and Alabama's 5 and Arizona State is 6. I'm telling you what's going to happen. The SEC is going to play themselves out of the playoffs. Because Alabama plays Auburn, which they can lose. Mississippi State as well, who's number one. Then there's a championship game. And if Georgia gets hot again with Todd Gurley back, they could win the whole thing. And there will be no SEC teams in the top 4 if they keep beating each other up like that. They're going to eat themselves out of the...
That's kind of crazy and unfair, though.
That is crazy and unfair, but that's what it is. Look at it and look at the schedules, the SEC is going to cannibalize themselves.
So why do they still have a championship game? Because that championship game, not every conference has that, correct? I don't think they all do. I'm not much of a college.
Not everyone, but the other ones, all the other ones started doing it. The big schools are doing it, but the big conferences are doing it. But they are going to, totally eat themselves out of the championship. Like they're going to cannibalize themselves. That's amazing.
And that's unfair that they're so good. They all have to play each other. TCU doesn't have LSU, Auburn, Alabama, Mississippi State. Like, they don't have.
And Mississippi.
And Ole Miss. Yeah, exactly. So it's not. You shouldn't be punished.
Look, I'm not making an excuse for the SEC. They've earned their keeps. I'm just saying that they're cannibalizing themselves this year. And it's amazing.
But you don't really have a choice. So, you know, is Auburn definitely toast? Because they lost last week, right?
Auburn 7-2, they're toast, but they're not getting in the top 4. But they could beat Bama next week, or when they play, they could very well beat Bama. Hey, it looks like we have a caller, Raheem.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Raheem.
Hey, how you doing, Raheem?
All right. I mean, I think Auburn can actually sneak in there if Mississippi State loses, but. Like you guys said, the SEC just beats the crap out of each other, and they all get kind of from outside looking in if they don't win out.
Wait, so you think Auburn, if Auburn beats Alabama, that they can't get to the championship game? They have 2 conference losses.
But in other words, if Auburn wins all the way out, that means they would beat Alabama, and I also feel like, but Mississippi State would have to lose along the way.
If Mississippi State would only have 1 loss, and Auburn already has 2 conference losses, that both of their losses are in conference. So they won't win the West or the SEC title because they won't get to the championship game, and they won't jump Ohio State, Baylor, and Arizona State if those teams run the table.
Yeah, you're probably right, and that's sad because they played a much tougher schedule.
Yeah, but they shit the bed last week, fumbling twice, going in to score. They don't deserve to be in the top 4 this year.
Absolutely. You can't lose to an unranked team like Texas A&M. I think they were a 23-point favorite in that game. But I really like Micah's point about the Donovan McNabb power rankings. isn't that the Carolina team that the Eagles spanked yesterday that was ahead of the Eagles in his power rankings with a tie to the Bengals?
His power rankings were phenomenal. They were 3-3-1, and they were like top 8 in the league.
He was at number 2, and the Eagles beat the Colts in Indianapolis.
The Eagles beat the Colts head-to-head, and the Cowboys were, what, 20? That was so funny.
They were like 15 there by the Browns.
The Eagles head-to-head.
That was funny. That was so funny, dude.
The Eagles beat them head-to-head on the road, and he still had to
on the
them.
Road. And they're still number 2.
Changed drastically. It wasn't like the Colts all of a sudden were the hottest team in the NFL, and the Eagles went in the toilet. If that happened, fine. That's fine.
Right.
But that wasn't what happened.
Exactly.
Yeah, we had lost to two good teams. Well, actually, one good team at that point.
Let me ask you guys this about the Eagles, because I kind of have I'm a big Eagles fan, and Lou knows that. We talk all the time about it. Do you think that Nick Foles could have potentially played his last down as an Eagle Houston?
I think we have to wait and see. So what happens if Sanchez has two bad games? Then everyone is pining for Nick Foles to get back.
Everyone will be Mr. Miyagi-ing his collarbone, like slapping their hands together and be like, this has to heal now.
But that doesn't take away from you having a valid point. Sanchez continues to play well, there is a possibility. There's a possibility.
Because my question is, say if Sanchez just played steady, I'm not saying that he, if he played phenomenal. I'm just saying if he played steady, barely turned the ball over, just
there's a chance.
Quarterback in
you're
the
right.
Kelly system, would they potentially try to trade him to move up in the draft? Because he has one more year left in his rookie deal.
That's a good point.
Wait a minute, I have to think about that. I hadn't thought about it, because I keep looking at it as he has a year left in his rookie deal. You just said that, Raheem.
Yep.
So I keep thinking, no matter what, he's back. I hadn't thought about trading him. He would have some value. The Bills will probably give you 3 first-round picks for him.
That would mean they would have to pay Sanchez. And are they ready to pay Sanchez? Or will Chip Kapung get his own guy?
Million, 1 year, $4 million, maybe, somewhere between eight to 12 million over a couple years,
Well, guess what? If you trade Nick Foles, guess who has all the leverage in that negotiation?
Matt Barkley. he makes a good point, and he's got me thinking about this now. If you trade, you don't have to make Sanchez your guy. He said if he played moderately well, that doesn't mean I'm dropping $50 million on him. You could keep Sanchez around for another year and draft a quarterback with a high pick.
Exactly. Because as you can see from the way the Eagles look at things, they look at things from a very financial perspective, man. And now I'm getting a little bit worried if they're going to pay Shady $10 million next year, man.
Shady is probably gone next year. I'm telling you, Shady might have played his last season with the Eagles as well. He's playing like crap.
A lot of different factors as to why he's not running as well. I think some of it is the hits that he took last year piling up and different things like that. It's looking like that explosion isn't quite there. But, what do you do?
Raheem, would you agree that he doesn't look like the same guy right now?
Say it again?
Would you agree that he does not look like the same guy?
I mean, after looking at it objectively, man, he really doesn't. He really doesn't. And I'm going to be honest, I think a little of it is the team stacking the box because, Deshaun is not there.
Right.
I think a little of it has been the offensive line.
Let's talk about how he looks personally. I don't think Deshaun not being there and the offensive line being injured has anything to do with how he looks. He looks slow. His cuts are not as sharp. He gets in the open field and he looks like me.
How often is he getting in the open field? Rarely.
Exactly. He's not getting there. He looks two steps slower this year.
Luther, so you think it's
amazing that Sproles can actually get to the open field. Even Polk is getting to the edge. Shady can't. Something's wrong with him. I think he's hurt. I think he's lost something. There's something with him. He looks like he's got on cement shoes.
And it's funny because if you watch the Sproles run, Selleck totally sealed the end. Peters held this guy up. Mm-hmm. Selleck just totally crushed down his end. And, I mean, Luther, you probably could have ran for 20 yards on that.
Oh, yeah. That play, that was just like, – that was great. Like, that play was
no, but if you go back and look at that play. if you go back and look at the Sproles touchdown run, it was designed up the middle. He gets the ball, sees Kuechly staring right at him, and he bounced it to the left, and there was nobody there.
It was a lot of Sproles.
It was a great play design, but it was a little bit of Sproles in there.
Yeah, okay. I got to look at that because I didn't see the Kuechly in the middle. and him just bounce it out. It looked like it was kind of designed off tackle, but I got to go back and look at it.
Go back and look, because on the replay, you see he could have gone right up the middle, but Kuechly was standing there. It wasn't a huge pivot.
That play was designed to go. That play fooled Kuechly. He took one step to the right, and Kuechly went straight as if it was a right zone. That play was designed to go backside. The play was designed to go backside, and you could see the blocking was blocked for that play to go backside. But the point right now is shady. Yes, I would have scored on that play. Jason Peters would have scored on that play. Fine. Let's talk about Shady. Shady is not the same, the Eagles aren't going to pay him $10 million next year.
I agree with you.
I'd be willing to bet that.
I agree with you, but we'll have to discuss it next week because we are out of time this week. Raheem, I want to thank you for the phone call.
Have fun with you guys, man. We'll be listening in. Great show, guys.
Dude, call in anytime.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling me, man. We'll be happy to have you back on. We can talk some more Eagles.
I want to thank
it, Lou. Y'all have a good one, man.
All right, man. Take care. Have a good week. I want to thank Ty Detmer for coming on. He was an awesome guest. Ton of great information. Who else are we thanking? I'm thanking Raheem for giving us a call. Other than that, what do you got?
Scarlett Johansson
for spending 2 weeks with Luther Broughton. But anyway, we will be back next week. I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll be back next Tuesday at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Until then, this is Cheap Shots.
Thanks for being part of the show. Luther and Micah will be here for another edition of Cheap Shots next week. Remember to catch us live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. in the West and 7 p.m. in the East on the Voice America Sports Channel. Let's talk again soon.